Hey, this is Daryl Evans. Your passion for Jesus will be inspiring to others, so keep listening to today's Modern Worship on WMIE 91.5 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. This radio show is brought to you by the excellent people of Island Community Church. Our next service is tonight at 6 o'clock. You are invited. We would love to see you in person. You can join us live on Facebook as well if you're unable to attend, but we would love to see you at 6 o'clock tonight. If you're tuned into the 5:30 rebroadcast, you got 30 minutes to make it to church tonight, and I guarantee you'll be blessed. Because anytime we sit under the authority of the Word of God, let God minister to us and then do what He says, I promise you nothing but good can come out of that. And I also want to encourage you to get to your church if your church has a service in the middle of the week, because it really will be a blessing the more time you spend in God's house listening to His Word. Nothing but good can come out of that. I invite you to our service here tonight. My associate pastor, Darren Salon, is heading that up. He is in the 1 Thessalonians, brand new book starting tonight. You are invited. We would love to see you. Here on the radio, we're listening here to, I think, the greatest sermon ever preached. It's the Apostle Peter preaching at the house of Cornelius. To him, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, whoever believes in him. And then it says, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word. Then they ran to get baptized. This is the formula for how people are saved. We're in Acts chapter 10. For more info on this church, islandcommunitychurch.net is the website. Our YouTube channel is Island Community Church. Many of the sermons, at least for the last year now, are uploaded on there. Okay, let's get into the word now. We're in Acts chapter 10.
That's a new covenant. There's no longer going to be sacrifices every year for your sins. God has put away all sins by one sacrifice. He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. So, your sins and your lawless deeds I will remember no more. Verse 13, Hebrews 8:13. In that he says a new covenant, he has made the first covenant obsolete. Now, what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Poof! Listen to me now. This is a real threat to Christians today. I've seen more Christians fall for this deception than for any other sin on the planet. Because it's not a deception to entice you to sin. It's not a deception to entice you to commit adultery or to cheat on someone or to not pay your taxes. It's not a deception to let it all hang out and live like a heathen. But it's a deception to have you think that you can draw closer to God if you keep and follow a particular set of rules. That's the deception. And the deception goes something like this. You know, people will lay this seemingly logical progression of thoughts on you. They'll say to you, well, Jesus kept Torah. All right, now, anytime you hear the word Torah, remember, Torah means law. No matter how much you want to butter that word up and make it mean something other than it means, the word Torah means law. So people will say to you, well, Jesus kept Torah. Well, true dat, he did, right? Paul kept Torah after he became a Christian. Now, that's a lie. He did not. Now, just because he tried to go to Jerusalem for Pentecost doesn't mean he still considered himself under the law. More on that here coming up in a few minutes. Just because he wanted to take a ship back for the day of Pentecost doesn't mean Paul considered himself under the law. He's got a lot to say. This is why they hated this guy for his teaching on this. So naturally, a train of thought will say, well, if Jesus kept Torah and if Paul kept Torah, then you need to keep Torah as well. Or the deception goes something like this. Walk where Jesus walked. Sounds beautiful, right? Everyone wants to go to the Holy Land. Walk where Jesus walked, or walk in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul and the Lord Jesus. I mean, that sounds very appealing, right? Nothing wrong with that. Then they'll hit you with eat what Jesus ate. When in Rome, do as the Romans do, right? Isn't that how the saying goes? Then they hit you with this roundabout kind of way. Well, Jesus kept Torah. He followed the Jewish dietary code. And then they say, nowhere does it say that you were not to keep Torah. And I say to that, I am a Christian. And you are, look, I am not Jewish. I'm not trying to become Jewish. I'm trying to become a better Christian. We're not Jewish. You don't need to try to become Jewish. You need to try to serve him. You need to try to reflect him better. Not try to become Jewish. I am a Christian. I follow the Bible. The Torah is not my book. The Bible is my book. The Bible is your book. Torah is a polite little way to say law. The word means law. Don't change it to something else. One day, my wife and I drove by a Messianic church, and the sign in front of the establishment said, Torah, Torah, Torah. So Carol said to me, in a bit of brilliant wisdom, though she's brilliant many times, she says, why don't they just put law, law, law up on the sign? I mean, Torah means law. Why not just put law? Look, if law, law, law was on the sign, who would go to it? Why, pray tell, would you want to attempt to follow and keep the law in order to be right with God? You see, you get right with God and you'll do those things anyway, because you'll have the power of the Holy Spirit to help you to overcome these things. But you can't put that on the sign, otherwise no one would go. And this is why law keepers hate the Apostle Paul. He is anathema to them and he is a bad word. Now here's what he wrote. He said, sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under the law, but you're under grace. Grace. Remember that? God's riches. This is what we're teaching Wednesday night. The acronym for grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Mercy when we don't deserve it. We read in Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for you. Or the King James says he was made a curse. Can you imagine that? Just forming Jesus into sin. Grace. Receiving what we don't deserve. Mercy from God. In 2 Corinthians, this is what the Apostle Paul taught about Torah. This is what he said. Now remember, this is not, I'm just telling you what it says. I mean, if you love the law, and if you want to keep the law, and if you think you can keep rules in order to be right with God, or if you think that God's still calling you to keep rules in order to be right with God, here's what the Apostle Paul said. He says, 2 Corinthians 3:6, he says, the letter kills. Now, guess what he means by letter? Right, it's the Ten Commandments, right? The finger of God writing the Ten Commandments. The letter kills, but then he offers the alternative, but the Spirit gives life. The Torah is a ministry of death. Now, the Apostle Paul said that. The Torah or the law. To use your own words, it means the same thing. So let's just, you want to change the law or the words? All right, then I'll do the same thing then. The law, or the Torah, is a ministry of death. The Torah is a ministry of condemnation. The ministry of the Torah is passing away due to the revelation of the ministry of glory. Now, Paul also wrote, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, your freedom. So does everyone understand? Everyone's with me. Your holy religious book is your New Testament of the living God. That's your book. The Torah declares the soul that sins shall surely die. The New Testament declares, I'll take your sins for you. Big difference. What do you think? And those really are your two choices. Keep every rule and live, or allow the Lord Jesus to come in alongside and take your sins on your behalf. Well, that's what he's already done. He's already done the work. All you have to do is receive that. It's grace. So that's the meaning for my sermon title here today, church. Instead of law, you've been given grace. And I suggest that you try to put that on the church sign in front of your building. Instead of law, why don't you try putting grace out there? How about grace, grace, grace on your church sign? That's what I think we need out there in the front. Grace, 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 because we're all in need of grace. I'm in need of a little bit more grace. How about you guys? What do you think about that? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. All right, now let's go back here to Peter and the unveiling of the new covenant. Verse 24. Now the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and he fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, for I myself am also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and he found many who had come together. Then he said to them, you know how lawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Okay, so it's not unlawful anymore. Used to be unlawful. It's not unlawful anymore. Who you hang out with or what you eat, because there's been a change in covenant. Change in covenants. That's what we're reading. That's what we're discovering here. Verse 29. Therefore, that is, since there's been a change in covenants, therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked them, for what reason have you sent for me? So Cornelius said, well, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you've done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded to you by God. All right, now starting here in verse 34, the Holy Spirit will take over now, and you're going to receive the truth directly from the throne. Remember, the Lord says the Holy Spirit speaks what he hears. Now, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth. Now, let's read through this whole text, then we'll go back and look at it. Then Peter opened his mouth and he said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen beforehand by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it was he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. I love preaching that here in this church. You just throw it out there and wait and see what the Lord's going to do. Be it here, be it on the radio Tuesday and Wednesday when this plays, be it in a month when this goes on the air in Philadelphia, 6 million people, we do what he did, throw it out there and see what happens. Through his name, the name of Jesus, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. See, now this is my all-time favorite sermon in all the Bible. Let's make a little list here. A 10-point sermon here by Peter. Then we'll see what happens next. From verse 34, all right, first thing is God shows no partiality. I'm sorry I'm reading through these fast, but then again, let me slow down in case you guys want to write because I don't have much left to this. God shows no partiality. That is, everyone has a fair shot. As many through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sin. So, God shows no partiality, number one. Number two, fear God and receive his righteousness and be accepted. Fear God. Remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We also read in the Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Starts with him. Fear God. Number three, peace is available to everyone through the Prince of Peace. Peace is available to everyone. So, number one, God does not show favoritism or partiality. Number two, fear God. Receive his righteousness. Righteousness, remember that word, that Greek word, dikaios, it's a legal word. Like God's got a gavel, slams down that gavel, looks at you and says to you, not guilty. It's to be officially cleared of sin in God's courtroom. That's why we read, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be righteous or justified. God accepts you and welcomes you into his kingdom. And it's your guarantee that when you die and leave this world, the angels will come and escort you and take you up into his presence. Justified. Peace with God. We all search for that, right? So God shows no partiality. Fear God, receive his righteousness. Peace is available to everyone through the Prince of Peace. Number four, Jesus is Lord of all. Number five, the Holy Spirit anointed Jesus, just like he does you. Number six, Jesus died on the cross. Number seven, God raised him up from the dead on the third day. This is Peter's 10-point sermon. This is the kind of stuff, this is the greatest sermon other than Paul on Mars Hill, which we'll get to in 3 years when we get to chapter 17 here. God raised him up from the dead on the third day. Number eight, we've been commanded to tell others. The Great Commission. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Number nine, only the elect, that is those chosen by God, only the elect saw him after he was raised again. And lastly, number 10, whoever believes in him will have their sins obliterated. Do you catch that last point? Listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying to you today. Whoever believes in him, God promises that he will obliterate your sins. Remember, your sins and your lawless deeds, he says, I will remember no more. That's good news. I just can't get over that. We carry these things with us for years, right? Years and years and years. The people that we've hurt, the missteps, the sins that we've done. And God says, what sin is that? I don't remember it. Who would not want to live under that covenant? Right? I mean, I started this sermon because that is the number one thing, the greatest thing that I've seen. So lastly, whoever believes in him will have their sins obliterated. And there's Peter's sermon. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not proclaiming here that you can live however you want. That's not what I'm saying. We read in Titus, it says, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly in this evil world. It's God's riches at Christ's expense that teaches you how to live right. Not in rules that say, don't do this. That never works. Ask Adam how that worked out for him. I mean, think about it. Maybe there was 20,000 trees, and there was one. He says, just don't touch that one. All the other 19,999 trees are fine. Just don't. As soon as he said that, you see, out comes the twitch. Right? Can't sleep at night. You were fine. Now, that's what the Bible says. He says, I was fine. When God said, don't do that, the Bible says, sin revived and I died. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on everyone who heard the word. What a great verse. Look at what saves a person, church. Look at what saves a person. Not baptism. That's the verse that the Church of Christ people don't like because they think the physical act of baptizing is what saves a person. Look what saved these guys. They didn't have to get out of their seats. They didn't have to burn one calorie. The Holy Spirit fell on everyone that had ears to hear the gospel. Not baptism. Granted, they ran to the water afterwards. Not putting money in the offering plate. Not good works. Also, it's not something that you'll find out later after you die. Also, it's not the good works of other people after you die done on your behalf. You got to make this statement of faith. You have to make this declaration of faith today while it's still today. No one can help you after you die. Or if he comes back first, you've got to make that decision today. Once you see him, it's too late. Once you see Jesus, it's all over. That's why the word today is in the Bible. It's also not someone who can get baptized for you after you die. You see, all you need is ears to hear. The Beatles sang a song. It's called All You Need Is Love. The Bible says all you need is ears. All you need is ears. Ba-ba-da-da-da. Romans 10:17. It says faith comes by hearing. And hearing comes by the word of God. With the heart one believes, the Bible says, under righteousness. Do you believe that? Do you believe Jesus Christ is Lord? Yes. Do you believe he died on the cross for you? Do you believe he's coming back again? Faith comes by hearing. What Jesus said, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe that? When you believe that, the Bible says the Holy Spirit falls on everyone who hears that word. Ears to hear the message that Jesus is the Messiah and that by believing in him and receiving him as your Lord and Savior, you too will receive eternal life. And the total and complete obliteration of your sins. Verse 44, now while Peter is still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And those of the circumcision, that is the fellow Jews that came with him, those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured on the Gentiles also. All right, so you see that there's been a change in covenants now. All that the Torah can do is do what it's intended to do, and that is to convict you as a sinner. But now, in the new covenant, eternal life is now available to everyone who will call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. To everyone who hears the message of the gospel. Is that you? Do you guys believe? Or if you're watching here on YouTube today, or if you're going to hear this later on the radio, it's as simple as this. Do you believe the gospel? That's the same thing the Lord Jesus said to Martha. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe? All those who live and believe in me, he said, shall never die. Do you believe? Verse 45. Now those of the circumcision were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speaking with tongues and magnified God. Then Peter answered, well, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. So there we have it here on this Sunday morning. Now next week we'll see the Jews are very upset with Peter for sharing the gospel with Gentiles and for eating with people who didn't follow the old covenant law. And we could say eating food that wasn't blessed by a rabbi. I mean, we laugh, but I mean, buy a jar of pickles and look and see what it says on it. Buy a jar of pickles. I mean, I forget what the symbol is, but there's a symbol that they put on food to show you that the food has been blessed by rabbis so that you can eat it. But the Bible says everything is cleansed if it's prayed over. Paul said it was all right to eat food that was sacrificed to demons. Can you imagine at the next food fellowship if we get food here from the local satanic lodge? Who wants to eat their ribs? You just pray over it. That's what I still really wouldn't want. You see, now I'd be offended at that. I might not want to eat that. It'd be like a plate of broccoli to me. Maybe I might not want to eat the leftover ribs from the local satanic lodge. But don't say you're unclean if you eat it, because you're not. Because what God has cleansed, don't call unclean. So let me close once again with verse 44. The Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word. Right where you are, whether it's in your chair or whether it's in your car here today, on this Wednesday, when you hear this in your car on Wednesday, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word right where you are. You don't have to stand up here to do that. You have to believe right where you are. It doesn't matter where you are. Because faith comes by hearing. And hearing comes by this right here, by the word of God. Through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sin. So I leave you guys today. Do you believe? Let's pray.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.